The Mishnah Chof Aleph Amid Aleph, the middle of the page, the first Mishnah. Just before we start, just to mention this din. There's a din in the Torah, you're not allowed to make a tattoo. Okay? Basically, it was the way of the non-Jewish people, the custom of the pagans, that they would make tattoos. And basically, the Torah forbids it. Now, the Mishnah is discussing the law, what is considered a tattoo, and when is it forbidden. So the Mishnah says, no,
the
tattoos
we
didn't.
Things.
Yeah, but that's not.
You leave writing on your hand.
What's that? We'll see the Gemara. No? So the Mishnah says, "Hakesiv ksevis kaka." Now, ksevis kaka is the writing, and kaka is the tattoo. But the Torah writes, "Uksevis kaka loisitnu b'tzarchem," a writing of a tattoo you're not allowed to put in your skin. So the Gemara is learning out from that pasuk that you need two actions to be considered forbidden tattoo, writing and a tattoo. So he says, what does it mean? That one, a case of Ksevis Kaka, if somebody makes a tattoo, then he gets Malkus, or Kosav Le Kaka. What happens if he wrote, but he did not make a into the skin? A tattoo is when you make a prick into the skin, and the writing goes into the skin. This would exclude, as the Gemara is saying now in the Mishnah, if you just write on your hand, that's not, it's writing, but it's not the second part of it, of ka'aka, which is the tattooing part. So if you write and you don't prick into the skin, or ka'aka v'lekasi, you pricked into the skin, but you didn't write, ein achayiv, he's not liable, achayichte v'ka'aka, until he writes and pricks it into the skin. You need two parts to be considered a tattoo. That means if somebody just takes a pin and scratches their skin. So before we learned, if you do it on a dead body, over a dead, you know, because somebody passed away, that's a separate sin. But I'm saying if somebody just takes a needle and makes a prick in the skin, that's not called tattooing. Well, if you just write, if you just write on your hand, like people write phone numbers or everything on their hands, that is not considered writing. Tattooing, because you wrote, but you didn't actually go into the skin.
Otherwise, how would you get a blood test or a needle in your skin?
Blood test?
Well, not a blood test, but a needle in your skin. Isn't that going underneath your skin?
No, it's actually puncturing the skin. It's not making a mark on the skin.
But isn't it going underneath?
We'll see later in the Gemara if there's an amount to it, if there's no amount to it. We'll see. Now, what writing do you have to do? What type of writing? So it says, b'diyai, either with black ink, b'chil is blue dye, or b'chol davar shureishim, anything that makes a mark. Now the Gemara will discuss the permanency of the mark. There are some opinions that say it has to be a permanent mark in the skin. Sometimes they have these clay tattoos. It's basically not even a tattoo because you don't prick the skin, you just put it on top. That's not, but it says it has to be a permanent type of writing. If you prick the skin and you put in a dye that rubs off after a short period of time, you're not obligated. Some authorities say it has to be a permanent writing, like a permanent type of a marker. And other opinions say even if it's not permanent, but if it's for a long period of time, not like a few hours or whatever, it's an extended period of time, it's also considered permanent that you be chayef for making a tattoo. Rab Shimon ben Yehuda emer mishum Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rab Shimon, another criteria to be chayef for making a tattoo. Ein chayef at sheyichtiv shomes Hashem. He's not liable unless if he writes, the way the Gemara thought now, God's name in the tattoo. That means this opinion is very limited in the obligation. He says, you only chayef for tattooing if you write the name of God in the tattoo. That's what the Gemara thought now. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, Uksev es ka'akali sitnu v'chem, don't make tattoo marks in yourself. And right afterwards it says, Ani Hashem, I am God. So Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, learns that what's the connection, I am God, to the Isra of tattoo. So he says, when is it considered writing, making a tattoo? When you write the name of God. There is a, I wouldn't call it a myth, but it's never substantiated, And whoever I spoke to from big rabbis never substantiated. They also say they heard it, but they don't know any basis for it. There is a myth, so I call it myth because I don't know what else it is, that if you have a tattoo, you can't be buried in the Jewish cemetery. I have no better word for it than a myth, because... Anyway, to my knowledge, it doesn't say that anywhere, and all the rabbis I've spoken to about it said they know everybody speaks about it, everybody talks about it. Huh? There's only... No, all the rabbis are Lubavitch. The non-Lubavitcher rabbis? I never know that. A rabbi means one who teaches Judaism. A rabbi means one who teaches Judaism.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Okay.
Okay. It's not a Kabbalistic reason. It's a very simple thing. It's pagan. It's the Goyim's, the way the Goyim used to do it. It was a pagan custom. They used to make tattoos. And there's another interesting thing while we're on the subject. What happens if somebody has a tattoo? Are they obligated to remove it? You could technically remove. The question is, it's not surgical. I mean, it's late, but it is considered surgical to a certain extent. According to Halacha, the sin is to make it, not to have it. Never the Torah says, "Chseves kaka leisitnu b'chem." You're not allowed to put it in you. Which means, once it's there, let's say somebody wasn't religious, whatever, and they have it. So, in practical halacha, there's no obligation to remove it. Somebody who now is religious may not feel comfortable having it. You know, but that's a different story. But there's no obligation per se that if it's there, I'll give you an example. If a kohen marries a divorcee, he's not allowed to marry her. But if he did, he has to divorce her. He can't stay married to her because it's forbidden. This is the sin is to make it, to make the tattoo. The sin is not having a tattoo. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, if somebody else is going to make the tattoo on you, but you're moving your hand, like we learned before with the hair cutting the payas, that the fact that you're participating in the process is also forbidden. That's a different story. When they tattooed numbers, that's a different story. There was a very interesting story told. There was a Jew leaving, I think it was Poland, one of the European countries, right after the war. And he was leaving, and his Rebbe was in Poland, you know, and he came to his Rebbe and he said, I'm going to America, how am I going to get a bracha now? Who's going to give me a bracha? You know, there's no tzaddikim in America, only in Europe. So his Rebbe said to him a very interesting concept. He said to him, if you go into a shul in America and you see a Jew putting on tefillin and he has a number on his hand, you can get a bracha from him. Because if after what he went through, he still goes to shul and puts on tefillin, he's a tzaddik. So you can get a bracha from him. Anyway, so the Gemara says, because last opinion of Shimon Yehuda says it has to be in a way that you write Hashem's name. So Amalei Ravacha b'rei d'Rava l'Ravashi. So Ravacha, the son of Rava, said to Ravashi, you're telling me Ada Yichtev Ani Hashem Mamish? He's telling you that the guy has to write Ani Hashem, I am God? How could, you know? So he says, no, Amalei Lai, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean the name of God. It means, K'ritani Bakapada, that Eina Chayiv Atshe Yichtev Shem Avedis Kechavim. If you write the name of idols, because we said tattooing was a pagan custom. So therefore, if the pagans used to write the names of their gods in it. So therefore, if they did it with their names of the god, that's what the second opinion holds. The first opinion holds any tattoo is forbidden. The second opinion is you have to write the name. So they originally thought it's the name of Hashem. So Gemara says, no, it means the name of idols. So Gemara says, Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, you shouldn't put a tattoo in your skin. Ani Hashem, I am God, and meaning Ani Hashem v'layachet. Only I am God, and nobody else is God. And therefore, like we said, it was pagan custom, so they weren't allowed to do it.
So, according to that opinion, that says you only have to be a name of an old kachanim. So,
That's why it's only that opinion. The halacha is like the chachamim, though, because that's a singular opinion.
Right.
The chachamim hold any tattoo of any sort. In fact, the Gemara is going to say now, Amar of Malkia, Amar of Ada Barava, Rav Malkia said the name of Rav Ada Barava, Asalar la'odam shi'itin eifim makla gabi makosi. In the olden times, for healing process, the people, when they had a wound, would put ashes in it. It was a form of healing process in the olden times. I mean, whatever. So he says, you wouldn't be allowed to do that, rabbinically. Why? It looks like a tattoo. Because if you had the wound in the skin, and then they put this ashes stuff in it, it looks like a tattoo. So even though you didn't do a tattoo, because the wound was not a tattooing wound, it just cut yourself, whatever. And then you're putting ashes in it for a healing process, so even though you don't mean a tattoo in any way whatsoever, the fact that it looks like a tattoo, people are going to think you made a tattoo, and therefore it's rabbinically forbidden. What?
Is it, I mean, besides for a Jew, is the Isser of doing this, is it also Isser of the Fukate of Montanese?
Yeah.
Because the Goyim.
Right. Sure, it applies today. What do you mean? Are you allowed to make a tattoo today? Of course not.
No, the ashes on the wound.
You're not allowed to do anything. Tattooing exists today.
No, but.
So I'm saying, it's to do something that will look and appear as a wrongdoing is rabbinically forbidden in any sin. In any sin, it's forbidden to do something that could be misunderstood, misinterpreted, that you're doing something wrong.
A lot of things in my assignment are relative to the time. So.
What? It's not that it's relative to the time. So, in the Gemara says, if you want to drink coconut milk with a meat meal, you need to put a coconut on the table. That people should know that it's coconut milk and not regular milk. Okay? We mentioned this many times. Years ago, like when I was growing up in the olden days, when you had margarine served at a bar mitzvah, wedding, banquet, the margarine had to be kept in the container that said margarine on it. Okay? If you wanted to put a part of a creamer on the table, years ago, they didn't let you do what they do today, just put a creamer in a container, and because then it was uncommon to have margarine. It was uncommon to have soy milk, you know, the part of creamers. So there was a din in Shulchan Aruch, just like this din. If you want to drink coconut milk, you need to put a coconut on the table. So then they would have to put the container on the table that says mocha mix or whatever. Nowadays, because everybody knows it's part of ice cream and part of creamers and part of margarine and everything, so people rely on the fact that today everybody knows it's part of. Even though I was at a wedding, and people were commenting about the mints, their chocolate-covered mints, you know, they put on the table in the middle of the thing, and everybody was commenting that this tastes so good, it tastes real dairy. at a wedding, it tastes real dairy. And it's like, well, come on, can't be. It's a from. Anyway, somebody said, no, this is too good to be parif. Anyway, you know what? When it's too good to be parif, it's not. The bill somebody checked, and by mistake, the person that bought the mints bought milchike mints instead of parif mints. I mean, they were Cholv Yisrael. They were good, but everybody was eating together with the fleishik meal. But anyway, huh? Yeah, at least
it.
Okay, anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. So anyway, so Malkiya, Amar of Malkiya, this is just important to know the name. The Gemara is going off a little bit. The Gemara says that Rav Malkiya said in the name of Rav Ada Barava that anything that appears to be a tattoo is also forbidden. So therefore, if you have a wound, you want to put ashes in it, you're not allowed to. So now the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Rav Nachman, the son of Ravika, said, Shvud, Shvaches, Gumis, Rav Malkiyai, Bluris, Eifer Makla, Ugvina, Rav Malkiya. There were two rabbis in the Gemara. One was Rabbi Malkiyo, and one was Malkiyo. Now, because in the olden times this was all oral, there was nothing written down, so they used to have to remember who said what. So this Rav Ada by Rav Nachman, the son of Ravikis, said as follows. The laws about Shved, Shvachas, Gumis, these three laws, Rabbi Rav Malkiyoy said. And the last three ones, Blurius, Efer Makla, and Gvina, Rav Malkiyoy said. What's the difference? You have to know who said it. You know, which rabbi said the halacha, because something is contradictions. Okay, what are the cases? Shvud means a spit. A spit is when you roast meat on a metal thing. So Yom Tov, you're allowed to roast meat, because Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook. But now the question is, after you use the shvud, the spit, for cooking, it becomes disgusting. So the question is, if it becomes disgusting, does it become muktzah? That you're not allowed to move it or not. So that's a shaila in the Gemara if it becomes muktzah or not. 1 minute. So he says, who's Shmuel? It says over there in the Gemara, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that this object is muktzah. So Rav Malkiyoy says, but if you move it in an indirect way, you're allowed to move it. So that was the din Rav Malkiyoy said. The next din he said was the din of Shvachis. What's the din of shvachis? It's a good thing the women are not here. When a guy gets married, the Gemara says the jobs men are obligated to do in the house and the jobs women are obligated in the house. So the Chachamim say that what happens if the woman is wealthy and she brings in maids into the marriage, then she doesn't have to do the jobs the halacha demands her to do because the maids could do it for her. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer says, no, if women do nothing, it makes him a sugar. Or a b'chal, if anybody does nothing. The Gemara says, but tell him maybe lidei shimum. So Rabbi Eliezer holds an interesting halacha, that even though the wife brings in many maidservants into the house to do all the technical work, she still has certain obligations, because a chachamim said, if she does nothing, she'll get into trouble, basically. Yeah. Then the next case over here is the case of gumis. Over there is gumis means the sign of an adult is two pubic hairs. So what happens if there's the if there's pores without the hair, is it considered an adult anyway? So these three dinim of Malkiyoy said. The last three cases, Blurius, Efer Makla, and Gvina, Rav Malkiyoy said. What are the cases of Blurius? Blurius used to, when the Goyim took haircuts, they used to leave over a lock of hair for their idol worshipping, whatever. So therefore, when a barber would be shaving a person, he'd have to stop before it. In other words, if he was giving a haircut to an idol worshipper, he would have to stop before the lock area that it shouldn't be helping the guy leaving over a lock for his idol worshipping. A lock of hair for the idol worshipping. And then there's another case about the cheese, and that is that a Gemara says a Jew is not allowed to eat cheese made by a goy. Even though it might be kosher, but a Jew can't. Why? Because they used to use lard in it or whatever. So these three dinim and Efer Makla, which is our case, that, you know, if you have a wound, you shouldn't put the ashes into it. These are all from Rav Malkiyah. These are Rav Malkiyah's din, and the Gemara is just saying that these are the three cases Rav Malkiyah said, and these are the three dinim Rav Malkiyah said. Rav Papa argues, and Rav Papa says, Masnitin u Masnita Rav Malkiyah. If it's a ruling concerning a Braisa or a Mishnah, then it's Rav Malkiyah. Shmaitza, if it's in a statement of post-Gemara, then it's Rav Malkiyoy. Okay? V'simanach, and the simon is, Masnitan Malkisa, that the Tana is a queen, which is Malkiyah. So the Gemara asks, "My Benaya, what's the difference if it's this rabbi by these three cases or these three cases?" So the Gemara says, "The case of Shvachis, the case of the maidservants, which is elaborated on in the Mishnah." So according to one opinion, it would be Rav Malkiyoy. The other opinion would hold it's Rav Malkiyah. That would be the difference between these opinions. And then the Gemara continues even more. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, speaking now, that was the parenthetical Gemara. Now the Gemara is going back to the thing that if you have a wound in your hand, you shouldn't put ashes in it. Because it looks like a tattoo. Not that it is a tattoo, it looks like a tattoo. So Gemara said, Avibe Barabaya kopid afila arivda duchusilta. He was careful not to put ashes even on a tiny puncture. Now normally a tattoo, and this is what I was talking to you about before, blood tests. A tattoo is not a puncture in the skin. If you stick a needle into the skin to draw blood, let's say, to give you a shot, that's not a tattoo. A tattoo is when you actually make a line or a mark or a symbol or something. Rav Bibi was so strict that even on a little wound, he also didn't put the Efer Makler. The first opinion, the Gemara says, if it was a big, you know, a big prick in the skin, he didn't put Efer Makler. Rav Bibi was more strict, and he said even in a tiny puncture, he didn't do it because it looked like tattooing.
What?
One minute, you just can't give a shot to yourself for no reason.
No, I'm saying, but when someone gives you a shot, it's painful sometimes.
Yeah, but it's for a benefit. It's for health benefits. Right. Surgery is also painful.
Yeah.
For no reason, for a guy to take a needle, and I'm not talking about acupuncture, for a guy just to same thing, it's all health purposes. But just to take a needle and start hitting, poking your skin is biblically forbidden. But I'm saying even not that, right, but I'm saying something that you're doing that you feel good about.
Drugs. Yeah, what about heroin?
Heroin is forbidden.
That's because it's poison.
Yeah.
It depends who you ask. It depends who you ask.
I know if you put heroin in there, that's poison.
Why? It makes you high.
Yeah, but after a while.
It's like mashka, like whiskey. Okay. No? Anyway, so anything that you do, though, if it hurts you, but you have a beneficial gain out of it, then you're allowed to do it. But not under all circumstances. For instance, you can... like we learned already, you can pierce your ears for earrings. Women, not men. You could pierce your ears for earrings because, even though it's painful for that second, but the gain outweighs the pain, so to speak.
Bris Mila,
on the contrary, by Bris Mila, the halacha is the part of the mitzvah is the kid feeling the pain.
Really?
According to halacha, you cannot give a baby, an adult yet, because it's impossible otherwise. But you're not allowed to give anesthesia to a baby to do a bris, because that's what the poskim write, because the pain by the bris is actually part of the mitzvah.
You can give an adult with anesthesia?
Yeah, because if they would, if they wouldn't, yeah. they do. I mean, local, maybe not complete, but there's impossible any other way. Now, the same thing, you're allowed to donate blood, but the way which is a shaila and aloha about donating blood, the Meisher finds there's a tshuva, you could donate blood because the benefit outweighs the hurting. But cosmetic surgeries are not so simple that you're allowed to. A person has to ask a shayla if you're allowed to. Because a lot of times you're not allowed to.
Why? Because of the pain?
Because you're causing injury to yourself. And the question is, the injury, if it outweighs the pain, you know, whatever. It's still painful. It still hurts. But anyway, let's not get... 1 minute. Ravashi argues on this whole din. Ravashi argues and says, "Kol makom sheyesh shamaka." Anytime there's a wound, it's not forbidden to put the ashes in it. Why? He said, "Makosi mechir cholav." The wound itself shows that the intention is not to make a tattoo. So Ravashi says, "You know what?" And Tosfos says that's the halacha. Tosfos writes the halacha is like Ravashi. Not like we learned in the Gemara, like Rav Malki said, or Bibi Barabaya, that they didn't because it gives the impression, therefore rabbinically would be forbidden because it gives an impression of a tattoo. Ravashi holds, and that's Tosfos where Talach is, that you're allowed to do it because the wound shows that it's not a tattoo. You can tell the difference between a wound. I mean, I'll give you an example. If a guy has, they don't use it, some iodine, let's say. You know, you have a cut and you into the skin, you put the red iodine, yeah? So, today nobody's going to think, oh wow, the guy made a tattoo. I mean, people are going to know, the guy has a cut, and he put iodine on it, whatever. So therefore, the Vashel is very simple, it's not considered a tattoo. But,
is a question about a breed. Is a Jewish doctor allowed to give an adult a breed? I mean,
if he knows what he's doing, yeah. Okay, next mission. What?
You know those tattoo stickers? You know, they give the parents a real tattoo. So it's like just like...
They give the parents?
The appearance.
Oh, the appearance?
Yeah.
I said they give your parents. You give them a heart attack, not a tattoo. Don't give them a tattoo. Yeah.
They look like a real tattoo, just like the call.
That, so that would rabbinically be forbidden. Based on what the Gemara says, Ravashi is only saying by the wound is because the wound, you see obviously that it's not a tattoo. But something that could give an appearance of a tattoo, like these things do, so then it's rabbinically forbidden just because it gives the appearance of doing something wrong. So anything that gives, like we learned, anything that gives the appearance of a wrongdoing is rabbinically forbidden.
Writing on your hand is forbidden?
No, but nobody says tattoo.
By
the way, there are people that are strict that they don't write on their hands. Because if it's a sharper pen, I don't mean the company sharper, I mean if it's a sharp pen, and you prick into the skin sometimes with the writing, and then you're writing plus pricking into the skin, so maybe it is a din of a tattoo. You know, so some people are just careful they don't do it.
What if you have a firm Jewish actor who...
It's a contradiction of terms, by the way. I know that, yeah.
Whatever. But you have a case of, let's say he exists, and he's asked to put on a tattoo for a role in the film, but it's not, obviously it's not real, but he's got it, he shouldn't do that.
He has to ask a shaila. It's hard to say a general statement what the guy's allowed to do or not. And he's working without a yarmulke, what's he doing? Okay, so I mean... So I'm saying, it's not that he's doing necessarily everything correct anyway. I didn't say it's forbidden. I said it's allowed. There are people that wouldn't do it because maybe it's actually pricking into the skin. What? Okay. Next Mishnah. No. They did it on dead bodies. They did it on live bodies. The Torah doesn't say, don't make a tattoo on a dead body. I'm saying, the Torah said, Bifsarchem, when you're alive. And the reason is because that's what the Goyim did. So obviously the Goyim did it on live bodies. If the Goyim only did it on dead bodies, then the Torah would say, don't do it on a dead body. I mean, okay, next Mishnah. There's also a very interesting halacha. Nazir Shoyeshoyse Yayin Kolayim. Now, a Nazir we know, is somebody who made a vow that they cannot drink wine, they cannot cut their hair, they cannot come in contact with dead people. Now we learned before in the Mishnas, the din is that in order to get Malkus, you need to be warned. Immediately prior to the act, you need what's called Hasra, you need to be warned, and they have to tell you, two witnesses have to tell you, the crime that is forbidden and what the punishment is. So now, what happens if a Nazir kept drinking wine a whole day, but he was only warned once? A Nazir, yeah. A Nazir was warned once in the morning, let's say by two witnesses, don't drink wine. And the guy goes the whole day and he's drinking wine, but he was only warned once. So the question is, does he get Malkus for every cup that he drank? Or because it was only one warning, he gets one Malkus for the day? I mean, one Malkus, 39. Is it 39 times 10? Is it 39 times 1? So the Mishnah says, Nazir Shayashayse Yayin Kolayim, a Nazir who was drinking wine a whole day but he was only warned once, Ein Achayev Ala'achas, is only Chayev one Malkus. Only for the one that immediately followed the warning. The other ones did not immediately follow the warning. So therefore we learned, there's a halachic assumption that if it's not immediately following the warning, we assume that the guy forgot it. Conveniently so. The guy forgot the warning.
Why are we not allowed to be Nazirim anymore?
Not that you're not allowed to be a Nazir. There was a Nazir living in Yerushalayim a generation ago. You shouldn't because you have no way of ending it. Because the Nazir has to bring a korban and he has to go into the Beis Hamikdash and shave his head. There's a whole process. So if somebody vows that they're a Nazir, the vow becomes effective. You become a Nazir. The problem is you can never get out of it. Because even though, if a guy just says, in the time of the Gemara, if a guy says, I'm a Nazir, and he doesn't say for how long, it's 30 days. The Gemara says in Nazir, Stam Naziris Shleishim Yem. The Mishnah. It says, a guy just says something. I'm a Nazir, it's for 30 days. If he says, I'm a Nazir for 50 days, and it's 50 days, whatever. But basically, Naziris is... At the end, he has to do a prayer. He has to bring a carbon, and he has to... There's a lot of things. So
there was that one a generation ago in Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's...
Holy man, or just...
I didn't meet him, I don't know.
Rabbi, can you just explain what a Nazir is?
Okay, well, I said... Nazir is a person who adopts a vow that he says, I'm a Nazir. What is the definition of a Nazir? He cannot drink wine or eat anything from grapes. Can he grapes or any grape products? I'll explain to you in a second. And then, secondly, he cannot come in contact with dead bodies, and he's not allowed to cut his hair. Okay, those are the three criteria of somebody that just says, I'm a Nazir. Now, why did they do it? They could have done it for a lot of reasons. One is because the guy wanted to be holier than other people, and he said, I'm a Nazir. Some people, I'll give you an example, Shimshon Agiba, the powerful Samson or Shimshon, was another partial Nazir from birth. Shmuel HaNavi, the famous Shmuel the prophet, was a Nazir. Okay? Rashi in Chumash says, that in the Chumash, in Parshas Nasa, in the second Parsha of Bamidbar, of the book of Bamidbar, the Torah says, the laws of a Saita, which is a wife whose husband accused her and of committing adultery, and then she has to drink the water, and if she's guilty, she plotzes and so on. So over there, the parsha of a Nazir, the laws of a Nazirite, is right next to the laws of a Saita. So the Gemara says, what's the connection between the two? That if somebody sees a Saita in her corruption, should separate himself from wine. For instance, just in a practical sense. What happens if a guy has a drinking problem? So they didn't have AA in those days. They didn't have all these treatments. So a guy is, let's say, and wine, we know, brings you to lewdness, to things that you shouldn't be doing. So what happens if a guy was heavily involved in wine and he wants to stop? So the only way he could do it is by making a vow. He's not going to drink wine. So he says, I'm a Nazir. So then already he comes with a package deal. You know, because you can't become impure to a dead body, you can't cut your hair for X amount of times. Somebody who's a Nazir forever could take a haircut once a year. I mean, there's a lot of halachas, the whole tractate in the Gemara Nazir that discusses all the laws of a Nazir. Now, coming back to this Mishnah, so if the Nazir was warned in the morning because he's not allowed to drink wine, and therefore he's transgressing a negative commandment that he would get whipped for if he was warned. So 9 o'clock in the morning, two witnesses say to a Nazir, he's about to drink a cup of wine to get the day going. He's a chassid to get the day going. So he drinks a cup of wine. Cup of mashke. No, but whiskey, a Nazir could drink, so don't worry about it. Johnny Walker, you could still drink if you're a Nazir. Johnny Walker Blue. One second. Diet Coke, even babies could drink. One second. So now, brandy? No, brandy is for wine. Now, what happens if 9 o'clock in the morning, two witnesses came to the Nazir, and they saw him about to drink a cup of wine? I mean, a warning is when a guy's about to do something. They don't come at 9 o'clock in the morning, hey, by the way, you're not allowed to drink wine. I mean, that's ridiculous. If a Nazir's about to drink a cup of wine, and two witnesses say to him, hey, you know, you're a Nazir, you're not allowed to drink wine. If you do, you're going to get malchus. And he drinks it. At 10 o'clock, he drinks another cup. And 11 o'clock, another cup. And every hour on the hour, he drinks another cup of wine. But he was only warned once in the morning. So the din is, he's going to get whipped 39 lashes once. Then the Mishnah continues. What happens? What happens if every time he was drinking a cup of wine, another cup, the witnesses said to him, don't drink. Then, and he still drinks. He's chayev for each one. Okay? Now, the same thing, a Nazir we learned is not allowed to come in contact with dead bodies. So what happens if the Nazir was warned in the morning by witnesses, don't go into a cemetery? And the guy listened, and he went. But he went a whole day in and out of the cemetery. So again, the same thing. He's only going to get whipped once because there was only one warning. What happens though? What happens if they kept telling him every time he walked into the cemetery? They told him again, you know, you're not allowed to. Volume and time, and he did it anyway. Chayev akol achas va'achas, again, he's chayev separate malchus for each one. Okay, then it says, Hoyim megaleach kol hayom. What happens, the third din of a Nazi is not allowed to shave his head, right? He's not allowed to cut his hair. What happens if the Nazi was warned once in the morning, don't cut your hair, and the whole day he's cutting his hair? So again, ein chayev al achas. He's only chayev one malchus. What happens if they tell him out to galeach, don't shave your head, don't shave your head. Vum galeach, and he did it anyway. Chayev akol achas va'achas, he's chayev for each one. Okay? For each cutting. Each cutting. By the way, the halacha is, even one hair, another would get malchus for. But it's, for each warning, it's one malchus. If another was warned once, don't cut your hair, and he would have cut 30 hairs, he's not going to get 30 malchus.
Right, okay.
But even if he cuts only one hair, he's going to get malchus. So it's not, it's the cutting act, it's not a question of how much hair. Now this is a din by Nazir. Now the Gemara is going to regular people. What happens if kalayim is a mixture of any two things that the Torah forbids? So sometimes the Torah speaks about animals, a mixture of a plowing with an ox and a donkey together, or breeding different animals together, which is forbidden. Or you have, sometimes the Torah calls, if you grow certain plants, crossbreeding of plants, it's also called kalayim. Kalayim also refers to a Jew not wearing wool and linen, which is called shatness. So Jews not allowed to wear wool and linen. So the same thing. What happens if a person is not a Nazir? This is any Jew. Was wearing a garment that had shatness in it. And when he put it on, the witnesses told him, you're not allowed to do it. But then he kept it on a whole day. Or for that matter, he kept taking it off and on a whole day. But he was only warned once. He's only going to get one punishment. What happens if they told him, al tilbash, al tilbash? They told him, don't wear, every time he did it. V'upeshit v'levish, and he keeps taking it off and putting it on. Chayev akol achas v'achas, he's chayev on each one. Why? Because again, there was a warning per sin. So therefore he's going to get, for the each amount of time that he did it, he's going to get malchus. Then the Mishnah says an interesting scenario. You can have a guy plowing a single furrow in the ground, meaning a single line in the ground, and he can get 8 times lashes for what he did. Well, 1 second, we'll see. Yesh chedesh talem echad. It's possible you can plow a single furrow. Furrow is like a line in the ground. V'chayev al mishum shmein alavim. You'll get 8 times 39 malchus. That means like 200, 8 times 4. You're going to get a lot of malchus. What's the case? Now the Gemara is going to say one act could be involving 8 sins. What is the case? Hachedish b'sher v'chamer, he plowed with an ox and a donkey together, which is forbidden. V'hein mugdoshim, and they are consecrated because they belong to the Beis HaMikdash. So you're not allowed to use animals that belong to the Beis HaMikdash. So you're using an axe which is belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're using the donkey which is belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's 3 already. Plus, v'kalayim b'keren, and he's mingling species in the ground. In other words, what is he plowing? Different forbidden species together. Plus, he's doing it v'shvius in the sabbatical year. And he's doing it an Yom Tif, in an Yom Tif, which is again forbidden to plow. And he's a Kayin who's a Nazir in a cemetery. That means this is a guy is plowing in a cemetery. Huh? I pity the guy giving him the lashes. He deserves it. What do you want from the other guy, Nebo? So speaking a case that it's in a cemetery, and a Kohen who is a Nazir, in other words, this is one act by one person, plowing with an axe and a donkey, which belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, mixed fruit, in a cemetery, in the sabbatical year, on Yom Tif, and he's a Kohen and a Nazir. So it's feasible, the Gemara says, that 1 2-minute act, a 1-minute act, can get you so many different sins. In fact, by the way, the Gemara is going to ask, I can give you more scenarios to make it not 8, to make it 10, 12. And the Gemara is going to refute it that the Mishnah is saying 8, the Mishnah means 8, and that's it. Because these are one direct act that's causing all 8 to happen. No, no, no. Mixture. If oh, 1 minute. So the Gemara says, Chanina ben Chachinoy Eimer, I can give you a 9th case. He was wearing shatness while he was doing it. In other words, he says, I can have even a 9th case. If the Kohen who was a Nazir in the cemetery with an axe and a yomt and a yomdit, and he was wearing shatness, so then you have a 9th case of Malchus. So Amalei, the rabbi said, Einam in Hashem, there's nothing to do with the plowing. Yeah, you could say while he's eating treif, and I mean, you know, you could say a million other things that he's doing while he's hitting somebody. So Gemara says, so he answered back, 1 minute. Amar Lam, he answered back. So Af Nazir Lam in Hashem. So what does Nazir have to do with this? In other words, then how can you count the Nazir or Kain? Also, is not connected to the act of the plowing. Yomtiv is connected to the plowing. Yeah? Sharach Hamer is connected to the plowing. That they belong to the Beis HaMikdash, you're using the axe. He says, but you're talking about a personal guy because he's a Kohen or another. What does this have to do with the plowing? It's not the plowing sin that's causing 8. So Chanina ben Chachinoy says, if you're counting a Kohen and another, then you can count the guy wearing shatness too. What's the difference? And then you can go into another thing. The guy was eating treif while he was doing it. You know, he was, whatever. Mixed food. Yeah, you're not allowed to plant it, but you're allowed to do it. Now, the Bartanur explains over here, Taka, why do the Chachamim count a Nazir and a Kohen, but they don't count the guy wearing shatness? I mean, the rabbis obviously had a reason why they counted Kohen and a Nazir, but not... I remember when they used to have those massive tape recorders. Remember those? Not the cassettes. Remember those real big ones with the big wheel? Now look what they have. Huh? Yeah. Only the old people here remember these things. Shimson, no comment. So the Mefarshim explain why Taka did the Chachamim count a Kohen and a Nazir, but not wearing shatness. So they say because in order for an animal to plow, it needs a person to guide it. What he's wearing is not relevant. So the person, meaning the Kohen who was a Nazir in the cemetery, is more connected to the actual act of plowing, because you need a person to make the animals go. That's more relevant to this plowing sin than what he's wearing. So the Chachamim hold, Kohen and a Nazir is part of the plowing act, because you need a person to make the plow work. So therefore we're counting it. But what he's wearing is complete coincidental. That has nothing to do with the plowing. Right. But if he's a Kohen and a Nazir, it's two sins. Right. If a Kohen who is a Nazir... One second. No, I'm saying the person is a Kohen and a Nazir. Right. No. This guy just walking into a cemetery gets double 39. Okay? Because it's two separate sins. One for a Kohen cannot go in the cemetery, and another cannot go in the cemetery. But as far as the plowing, you need a person for plowing to plow. Okay? What he's wearing has nothing to do with it. So the Chachamim hold, as part of the 8, we can count a Kohen and a Nazir. It's the same person, but because you need a person to get the act of plowing straight. But what he's wearing is completely coincidental. And therefore the Chacham, like we said before, not going to count that he's eating meat and milk together. Even though it would be another sin. Right? And while he's doing, he's hitting somebody. You know, you can keep adding, and the Gemara is talking, going to add a whole bunch of more sins. Yeah, and then not. Yeah, what he's having, what he's doing, is they get a tattoo. And right? Yeah, I mean, you can keep... Yeah, you have the scenarios,